Listener supported. WNYC Studios. I put my baby a rip radio. He played it that day. A go-go, a go-go. He liked to dance to it. Down in the streets. He said he loved me, but he loved the beat. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The influential British band called The Selector formed in the late 1970s and played a style of music called two-tone ska. It was a high-octane blend of rock, jazz, and roots reggae, with a message very often. The group's frontwoman, Pauline Black, was hailed as the queen of ska, and she still is. She tells her story in a recent memoir called Black by Design. And a new album called String Theory. Both bring Pauline Black to our Soundcheck studio. Welcome.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
This is quite a book. We learn many things about you, among them that in the great Beatles-Rolling Stones debate, you came down squarely on the side of the Rolling Stones.
Yes, I did, for my sins.
What does that tell us about you?
I'm not really sure. Maybe I just have a penchant for people who look like Mick Jagger. I don't know. Mick Jagger spoke to me in a way that I'm afraid the Beatles really didn't. They were kind of four mop tops who were relatively boring, I thought. I mean, fantastic music, but that's something that you come to realize as you get older. But at the time, my mother didn't like the Rolling Stones, and what my mother didn't like, I liked.
Right there with you. So, this idea of sort of being attracted to the outsider, perhaps, the person who doesn't have the clean-cut image, this becomes kind of a recurring thing. I mean, the book begins with you being told by your mom that you're adopted at the age of four. And that kind of feeling of being an outsider seems to have, you know, sort of driven a lot of the story of your life.
I guess, yes. I mean, I do still consider myself to a certain extent to be an outsider. I'm mixed race. My father was Nigerian. My mother was Jewish. I was adopted by working class white parents in Britain, near London, in the suburbs of London. And of course, by the time I was 4 years old, I was ready to go to school. So they had to tell me something because, you know, kids are always point out the elephant in the room. And I was definitely the elephant in the room at the school I went to. So it was it didn't come as a shock necessarily, but it did make me think. And obviously, it gives you identity issues, I suppose, as you grow into teenage years. Everybody has identity problems at that time, and not knowing your mother or your father, your real mother or father, does tend to make you maybe a little more insecure than you would normally be.
Right.
But also, I think that the parents that adopted me were, I guess their attitudes would be considered racist these days. I would take a much more charitable view of that because most of Britain was that way at that time. We're talking about in the 50s.
Right.
And it was more ignorance than anything. I mean, they felt that they were doing right by adopting a black child. But trying to turn them white, as it were, is then something quite else.
So as you headed through your childhood, your teenage years, radio and music becomes a kind of a beacon for you in a way that maybe it is for many teenagers, but for you to a degree that's probably different from the other kids you grew up with. So when you first started hearing, say, American music, I mean Motown, black music on the radio, knowing that all your white classmates are hearing the same thing, what did that do for you?
That was just, it was euphoric. I mean, they came over as well. A lot of the Tamil artists toured to practically nobody in all kinds of drafty.
Just to say, when you say Tamla, that's our Motown.
Yes, yeah. Sorry. Yes, your Motown. And I remember the very first time that I saw Stevie Wonder, and he was just magic. I mean, I wasn't that much older, probably was similar ages or whatever. And I just remember looking at him and thinking, wow, this is completely different. He looks as though he's having real fun. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, these ladies hoved into view with these weird sort of, you know, wonderful hairdos, which I thought were real and not wigs. But, I mean, that was because nobody had told me. It was that just kind of began to open up the world. And from there, of course, Marvin Gaye came. And then, of course, Marvin Gaye made that wonderful transition to something which was a little bit more social commentary. Rotary at the time. Mm-hmm. And I followed, and it was like the information was coming from America about what it meant to be black. You know, I mean, James Brown named the nation black, and I thought, yeah, that's for me.
And Aretha Franklin demanding as a black woman, R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Well, that was the other thing. As soon as the video that, I don't know whether it was a video then, I guess it was a film,
it must
wasn't
be,
it?
Yeah, sure.
Of her kind of strutting down the street, kind of singing this at full voice to a little black kid in, Romford, Essex in Britain. That meant an awful lot.
A pivotal moment in the story of Pauline Black's life in the book Black by Design, hearing this song by Aretha Franklin. Aretha Franklin, of course, with Respect. Hearing Aretha, hearing Stevie Wonder, hearing the black American music of the late 60s and early 70s, a pivotal moment in the story of Pauline Black, the musician and actor, frontwoman of the band The Selector. Her memoir is called Black by Design. It is subtitled, Pauline, a two-tone memoir, which is a great pun, you know, on the black and the white, but also on the musical movement known as two-tone.
Well, The Selector was part of a musical movement, and that movement was begun by The Specials, by the person who started the whole thing, which was, of course, Jerry Dammers. And he went to the same university as I did, along with one of the other Specials, Horace Panter, who plays bass. And I guess that two-tone really is a social and political stance, mm-hmm. and it is anti-racist and anti-sexist, and it has this wonderful black and white iconography and this cute little animated figure called Walt Jabsco, who is the original rude boy kind of thing, if anyone out there knows what that is.
Well, and the rude boys, I mean, they actually precede
the two-tone thing. I believe that the Walt Jabsco, the little cartoon for him, is based on either Peter Tosh or on Bob Marley, pre the Wailers, mm-hmm. that whole thing, when they were rude boys themselves and doing ska music.
Right. So rude boy itself is a term that, you know, we hear sort of in Clash songs, you know, Rudy Can't Fail and stuff, talking to this kind of young, disaffected, often from Caribbean families, you know, growing up in council housing in and around London and stuff. Those were the rude boys.
Those were the rude boys, yes.
But the thing about the two-tone, this kind of branch of ska, it was that it genuinely was black and white musicians, you know?
Yes.
Madness and The Specials and The Selector. I mean, The Specials were at the top of the charts for a long time, and you guys, as The Selector, had success right out of the gate. I mean,
yes.
you basically joined the band, start writing songs, and like the first song you write ends up on the charts.
Yes, it was within 5 months. I think we began the band in May 1979, and by October we had a top 10 hit, and we were out on tour with The Specials and Madness, which was the two-tone tour, which was this huge kind of juggernaut that sort of wended its way around the UK. Mm-hmm. And suddenly it was like overnight. All kids were going to school, you know, with sort of modifying their school uniforms and all this kind of thing, with lots of nice black and white checker iconography all over their satchels and stuff. And it was great times.
And so how was it for you to go from this childhood where you were the outsider to being right front and center in this movement that had, you know, this kind of neat collision of music and politics?
I didn't really think about that too much at the time. I mean, like I said, you're on a juggernaut. It's just going. And suddenly everyone is interested in what you have to say. I probably had too much to say. But I never let that hold me back. Yes, you find yourself saying all sorts of things that ordinarily, if you really gave it some thought, you probably wouldn't say. But, for my sins, I said them. And, somebody must have taken notice because people still come to the show.
So the band was called The Selector. The song They Make Me Mad, you co-wrote this.
Yes.
So was this like the first effort at writing with the band?
It wasn't the very first effort. I had that song before I joined the band. But They Make Me Mad pretty much summed up where I was at the time, I think.
This is Pauline Black and the band The Selector from the debut album by the band back in 1980.
The fancy words to confuse your mind, but since I never did no elocution rhyme, made me think that everything they said was fine. So I nod and wink and smile. I said I understood, yeah. I went all the way, giving up myself to the philosophy.
Make Me Mad from Pauline Black and the band The Selector. Pauline, the longtime frontwoman of this two-tone ska band that formed in 1979. The album Too Much Pressure came out in 1980. And this is on the heels of the punk movement, which is, you know, where we saw a lot of both embracing of black culture and a lot of skinhead resistance to it. You faced a lot of the same thing, right?
Yes, I guess we didn't really think too much about it at the time. It was like this wonderful melange of people would turn up to gigs. Some of them would be skinheads. Some of them would be absolutely fine.
Mm-hmm.
And others would be, let us say, a little right of center, quite far right of center.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of it, was fairly meaningless, confused, ignorance, all of those things. But it made it quite difficult to deal with sometimes, standing on a stage sometimes, having a sea of skinheads kind of Zeke Heiling at you.
Yeah. We're speaking with Pauline Black, musician, actor, author of the book Black by Design, a two-tone memoir. Selector, I mean, there's a record, String Theory, a recent record, but Selector also went through, as many bands do, we'll call it a hiatus, a breakup, after 1982, at which point you started getting into acting, including some, as you put it, some really dodgy shows over there in the UK. Do you still act today?
I haven't done anything for some number of years now. Mm-hmm. You can't really take the time out to do theater acting and run a band as well, because shows have to be booked so far in advance. And plays go on for 3 months at the very shortest run.
Now, did you find as an actor that you were using the same kind of dramatic muscles as you were as a front woman?
I actually think that I learned my dramatic muscles by going and doing acting. I mean, it's all good. I'm one of those people that I like to do a lot of different things. And if the opportunity presents itself, why not have a go? I'm not quite so maverick or quite so brave these days as what I used to be back then. It was like, hey, someone wants to put me in a play. Yeah, I'll do that. So it was all a bit like that. You just kind of learn on the hoof, really.
Yeah. So after, what was it, about 10 years, The Selector reforms, were you a different front woman at that point?
Well, I'd play Cleopatra by then. I'd play Billie Holiday by then. I'd done an awful lot of different things, and a bit of Chekhov too. So, yes, I guess I was different. You bring all those characters to play.
Let's hear something from the new Selector album. It's called String Theory. Is there a kind of, I mean, the two-tone movement really had this, as you said before, anti-sexist, anti-racist message to it. Has the message modulated because of changes in society in the 30 years since?
Well, when we got back together 3 years ago with the present form of The Selector, we put out an album called Made in Britain, And a year later, we put out the album String Theory. And Made in Britain really deals with multiculturalism. We felt that the anti-racist stance, people really understand that these days as multiculturalism. It's mm-hmm. really having to get together in these urban cities with lots of different kinds of people. Now, people have always done that. But now we have a word for it. And when you have a word for it, it makes it so much simpler, doesn't it? Everybody knows what they're talking about. So we were dealing with that on Made in Britain, saying that whatever colour you are, we're here. And somehow we have to deal with each other. And that is the future and what comes out of that. So, and String Theory is really just taking it on and thinking a little bit about kind of, you know, my scientific background, that String Theory would suggest that we're all made of the same stuff. These little vibrating strings that are all the way through the universe. And that's what connects us. And there was seemed to be this lovely kind of connect with our past then, this string that we were following from 1979 to present day. And really saying that we are all the same. All we have to do is embrace the fact that at the end of the day, we are all human beings. And the best thing we can do is just stop ourselves from messing this planet up any more than we have already.
Let's hear the song London's Burning from the album String Theory by The Selector. That's some music from my guest, Pauline Black, and her band, The Selector, from their latest album called String Theory, That's London's Burning, which mentions the verb occupy. Was that a deliberate sort of call out to the Occupy movement?
Yes. Yes, it was. It was, I mean, obviously the actual song deals with the riots that happened in London quite recently. And people's take on that. And I just feel very much that we have this complete disconnect at the moment between people who don't feel as though they are just disempowered, really. Mm-hmm. And those who have, as it were. And the situation we had in London was obviously very clearly that personified. And we felt that we ought to say something about that. The one thing we didn't want to do was get back together and just be a heritage band. It really didn't feel as though that was the right thing to do. It's very nice. We love it that people like our back catalogue. We love it that people come along to our gigs and want to hear all those things like On My Radio and Too Much Pressure. But it's not like we feel we want to force music on people. But I do feel that if you're in a band and you're a musician and you consider yourself to be creative in some way or another, then you better get on and do that. Mm-hmm. And not just consider that one's legacy is some payday.
Black by Design, the memoir is out. So is the new record by The Selector called String Theory. Pauline Black, a real pleasure having you with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you very much, John. I really enjoyed it.